Oh yeah. Oh, you did it. You clicked on the Osway Bar podcast, a podcast dedicated to growth. We know we're not supposed to be stuck. We're designed to grow and be all that God has called us to be. We post every Monday and Wednesdays. Monday's a segment I call Monday Message. This is where your message is for me. Wednesday segment, that's one of my favorites. This is a segment called Wednesday's Word from the Wise. This is where I get to sit down with amazing guests and draw from their wisdom, experiences, and anointing, all for the purpose of growing. So if you're ready, I said if you're ready, growth fanatics, let's do it! All right. What's up, everyone? Thank you guys for tuning in, as always. Again, this episode is dedicated to our growth, and we're growing in our leadership today. And none other than awesome, mighty man of God, Michael Johnson, is the man, the myth, the legend. And he's pretty awesome, man. Real big, actually, I got to shout out Miss Wendy and Ron. Yeah, I got it. Wendy and Ron, because it just shows what good parenting in a good family household, what the value brings. Because for people like Sarah Grace, this is actually Sarah Grace's brother. For those who listen to the podcast pretty often, Sarah generally teaches on Mondays. Her and Chandra kind of switch off. But anyway, this is Sarah's brother. And man, the thing that he's doing and the reason he's on is just because his leadership is amazing, and there's fruit behind what he's doing, leading our sit-up and tear-down team at Freedom. And just kind of the background, what I was saying earlier, it was a team that was like the non-sexy team, but he made it very attractive. I always tease and say that the people that serve under Michael are like David's mighty men. And, you know, when David at one point said, man, I just wish I had water from back home, you know, those guys would just go out under enemy territory and just steal some water for David, you know. In other words, they're willing to serve and just be a blessing to Michael, and Michael's that same way. So anyways, this is why Michael's here. Michael, say hello to everyone.
Hello. How's it going, guys? It's Josue. Thank you for having me on. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be here. First ever podcast, by the way. So super stoked. This is definitely something that the Lord's put on my heart to do for a while. And then, you know, you invited me to be on. It's just like part of fulfilling what God's called me to do. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, man. No, I mean, seriously, I want to bring people on this podcast who have fruit and their leadership, and not just theory of like, oh, I've read this, so I understand this, or my mentor told me this, but people who are actually doing it and applying it. And that's the cool part. And so anyways, let's go ahead and start off, Michael, because bringing you on as a set up and tear down team. So you guys got to understand this. Set up and tear down at Freedom Church, just so everyone kind of has context of why this is unique and awesome. Because you're doing a lot of our church right now, we meet at Karis Bible College. So, all the things that we put up or set up, that's not there permanently. We have to set it up and tear it down every Saturday night. Yeah. So, there's a lot of labor intensive work we have, and man, we stand on the shoulders that have been there before us. So like, thank God for like Tim Johnston, bringing in trailer, having out some of those things, creating different systems.
And shout out to Tim, by the way.
Yeah. We love you, Tim, in Florida. A lot of great things. But, and you can put as many systems as you want into place, but the whole fact of having to constantly come in and be the first ones there and be the last ones out, it just takes a lot of pull. So anyways, with that, Michael, you came to a team that was kind of not really there. You probably had a few guys, but then you were able to bring in many others. Give us some recruiting tips, man, when it comes to this kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of here's the thing. Ministry is all about people. And so, one of the first lessons in leadership I ever learned was that good leaders see potential in their people and they help draw it out of them. Yeah. Now, you can't force anything out of anyone. So really, it's all about asking the Holy Spirit. And this is where relationship with the Lord involved with leadership comes in, is, Lord, who has potential and how can I pull it out of them? How can I point them in the right direction that you've called them to? And so with that, I'll use one of my guys, Vladimir, for example. Shout out to Vlad. He's an amazing leader. He came up underneath me and he started serving on setup and teardown. And the Lord just highlighted him to me, and he said he has potential for, you know, leadership. I've called him to ministry. So I just began to speak into him, pour into him, and I actually brought him up and made him my right-hand man. Yeah. And so, you know, now he's been, you know, and he's shown character, he's shown fruit. And so with that, he actually just recently got promoted to head usher at Freedom Church. Mm. Now, why is that? It's because the Lord highlighted him to me and put him under my leadership. And because of that, I was able to point him in the right direction. And I believe that this is, like, him being in the usher position is going to take him a step further. So all that to say, just really just being extremely sensitive to the Holy Spirit about who you're supposed to pour your time into, because with that is going to come out of quality leaders out of that. So
no, that's a good point. And for those who are listening, you may say, like, all right, that's nice, you know, pouring into leaders and stuff like that. But what happens when they leave, you know, or they go? Like, just for example, Michael just shared his right-hand man just got promoted to ushers. And a lot of times people can get so territorial. We're like, no, I got to hold on to this person. No, I can't let them, you know, go away. You know, they served under me. I helped get them there. But it's pretty much it's a bad attitude. And so, Michael, how have you kept that attitude just to celebrate them on their way to promotion?
Yeah. You know, it's, again, you know, watching them move forward in what God's called them to do, but also someone really important in my life, Pastor Apostle Kent from OCI in Missouri, shout out to Apostle Kent, he said something one time that really stuck with me. He says, train and equip, don't grip. Mm-hmm. So in other words, when we grip on to those that we're training and equipping, like, they're not going to be able to be released out and exceed their full potential in what God's called them to do.
Yeah.
Versus if we train and equip them, that's going to help them drive them forward in what God's called them to do. And so that's why, like, for me, it's important to raise and develop leaders in that, just because, am I making sense? Oh, yeah. Just because it, you know, it puts them forward in what God's called them to do. And it's like, I want to see more people walk in what God's called them to do and what God's called them to be.
Yeah.
And so it's really more, it's more motivating. It's like, at first it seems like, you know, like, I just lost a really good team member. It's like, no, like, I actually just gained another great leader.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, with him being my right-hand man, he's literally now a peer now.
Yeah.
And so it's like him and I get to work together in creating a better culture of leaders, right, in Freedom Church and as in the body of Christ as a whole.
Right.
So definitely look at it as, you know, I'm helping this person move forward in what God called them to do. And when God's, you know, got them in a really high place, you can look at them and say, the Lord gave me the honor and the privilege to play a part in them being where they are now.
Yeah.
And it's rewarding if you look at it like that.
That is so good, man. No, it's so true. And again, I just want to echo that, what Michael shared. I heard an HR manager say it like this before too. Just if you ever get in that fear of training and developing people, one time, you know, someone asked, you know, the leadership team, it's like, hey, what happens if we, you know, we train these people and they leave, you know? And the response back was, what happens if we don't and they stay?
Yeah.
You know, again, if you should be seeing life, you should be seeing people move on, you should see promotion, you should be seeing growth. If you're seeing something that's just a constant and nothing's ever changing, that's something to look back into your leadership and just, I would apply what Michael is doing. So Michael, give us some practical ways, man, of how you have poured into your leadership team. Like, what do you mean by that? I think we hear that a lot, but it's just, you know, practical. What does that mean?
Sure. So pouring into the leadership team. So, you know, obviously, you know, going back to finding the people that have potential and, you know, asking the Lord who that's supposed to be and investing the time into them. Then you're going to go to, okay, how, Lord, like, what is it that they need to hear right now? And a lot of the times it's easily shown, especially like with setup and teardown. So like we'll take our time, we set up, and then we have a little bit of time in between service and finishing teardown, setup, and then service. Sorry. And so with that, we do what I call powwow time.
Okay.
Where we all sit down, we discuss like what went well, what could we improve in, but also just things that, you know, we start to discuss like these are areas that we can improve in. Okay. Well, here's a leadership lesson on that.
Yeah.
Here's what the Word says about that. And so, you know, you just begin to pour and invest. And then usually after, you know, after tearing down at the end of the night, I'll have the core team, which it's important in a team to have a core team. So like my core team consisted of three people. And I would just take time and pour and invest in those three people, because if I was able to do that, they would help me carry the culture throughout the rest of the team. Yeah. And it created a better support system for me, because a leader's not supposed to do everything on their own. Right. They're supposed to have a support system. And so with that, having a support system, so it's, you know, having that core team to create a support system, be able to help carry the culture, which then creates a healthier team altogether, because there's multiple people carrying the culture and not just one.
Right.
And that just kind of influences the other people within the team to carry that culture. Does that make sense? So definitely just pick out, like, again, seek the Lord for potential. Pick out those very few people and then just pour into them. Pour everything you can into them and ask the Lord, like, what to pour into them at that time, because time is of the essence. You know, it's important to be on, to give timely words and to give, you know, timely advice and, you know, whatever the Lord puts on your heart versus just weighing it. You know, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain deceit is what the Word says, you know, so do everything, you know, guided by the Lord, and watch what happens. I guarantee you that healthy team will develop.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. So again, just, if you guys didn't catch that, you know, slow down your podcast. All right. No, it's something that I'm telling myself recently. I generally listen like a 2.0 speed on a lot of podcasts, and it's like, I got to slow down, really catch what is being said and
soak it in.
Yeah, exactly. But one of the things I would say is, and I love that. So you look for those who have potential. You, again, you're training up those, you're creating that core team. And then also you mentioned something that I just want to reiterate too, is just having that time for a powwow, doing debriefs. And something that David McClure, if you guys remember in our last episode, he talked about having teachable moments, you know, just being able to have a teachable moment with his team. And it just sounds like you're creating that culture of, you know, we get work done, but we're connecting, we're loving on each other, but then also we're just going to see what are some positives, what are some areas that we can grow in and do better and more efficient. And you're taking the time to have those teachable moments. I just want to encourage you guys, because again, a lot of times people may say, I just don't have time, you know, to develop my team, or because we just got so much to do. Michael, you've done a good job of this. And so just maybe if you can just share some wisdom on this, of the balance of getting the job done, because you guys knock it out of the park every single time. Like, cool testimony, because again, we meet at another facility, and that facility is being used quite often as well. But the security team from that, from Karis, was bragging about you guys, because they were just like, man, it literally looked like no one was here. You guys always do a good job of tearing down and cleaning out and making sure everything looks better than where you guys left it.
Sure.
So with that, how do you balance getting the job done while still maintaining, creating that culture and, developing your leaders?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Sway. So ministry is all about the people. It's supposed to be about the people. Now, is the work important? Absolutely, 100%. You know, it even mentions in the Word, do the work of the ministry, you know. So doing the work of the ministry is so important, but ultimately it's about the people. When you put the people at a higher value than the work, because people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. When you show them and pour into them and, you know, show them how much you care and how much you love them and how much you value them, and that's another thing, is like valuing your people. That's a whole nother message for another time. But, you know, when you can show value to your people, they will perform excellence.
Yeah.
And they will, you know, it's like, okay, this guy has really good things to say. He loves and values me. Okay, now, what is it that he does that I could be doing the same? And basically that's when influence comes in. And, you know, leadership is influence. It's not positional. So, you know, it's really just making it, valuing the people more than the work. Yeah. But when you can value people more than the work, then the people will perform excellence, because they know how much you care. And then they see you performing the work with excellence. That's what develops culture. Yeah. It starts with the leader. You know, the leader is the one that sets the pace. He sets the culture. Right. And so, you know, valuing the people, then, you know, setting the example is how it all plays in.
Come on. That's so good, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kind of switching gears a little bit, Michael, like I said prior before, I want to bring people in who just show good fruit in their leadership and they're just kicking butt. We see how you're leading a team very, very well. Just in leading yourself, how has failure shaped you?
Oh, that is my absolute favorite question. You know, failure, I used to be so afraid of it, yep. You know, because I come, you know, I come from a work environment. Like, I used to work for my dad a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would work for other subcontractors or whatever. And the subcontractors, like, anytime I didn't do something well, they would get on my tail about it. Yep. You know, my dad was always very good about taking time and teaching us. But the subcontractors that we would work for would sometimes get on my case, which, I mean, that's, you know, it's normal, whatever, you deal with it. But I always used to be afraid of failure because of that. Mm. But realizing now, like, I don't want people to be afraid of to fail because then it helps them learn. Mm-hmm. And so I actually took time and asked the team, like, what kind of culture have I created within the setup and teardown, and what can we do to improve it? And one of the guys responded almost immediately after I texted that question to the team, and he responded back. He said, "You created a culture where we don't have to be afraid to fail." Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we don't. You know, so failure really has shaped me in a sense of, like, embrace it, because that is, like, where the most wisdom and the most growth is going to come from. Yep. And so the way it has shaped me in that is just, like, you know what? Like, it's okay. You know, it's like I've failed making executive decisions, but ultimately it was a learning moment. And I'm so glad I was able to learn and grow in that. So definitely, you know, failure has shaped me in a very positive way. And I definitely would recommend to not be necessarily afraid of failure, but it's like, if you do fail, embrace it. What can I learn from this? Walk away from that.
Yeah.
And carry that on for the rest of, you know, your leadership and your time with, you know, serving the Lord. And I guarantee you great things are going to come out. I don't know if that answered the question very well or not.
But. No, it did. No, that's really good. Fail, I've heard a preacher say like this, it's acronym for first attempt in learning. So
yeah.
Taking that opportunity just to fail forward and learn from your mistakes is so huge. And just you guys do it so well. Seriously, it's amazing.
Thank you.
Tell me, what is someone that has inspired you to grow in your leadership?
Oh, man, so many people. I would say to start with my parents.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mom and Dad. Love you guys so much. You know, the older I get, Sway, and it's so funny, you know, my dad would always tell me these things like when I was young, and I wouldn't understand it at the time, but the older I get, the more I find myself quoting my dad. Like, I just, it's like they were very, my dad was always very inspiring for leadership. You know, like one of the first, you know, the greatest lesson I've ever learned in my life from my dad was integrity, you know, and that's like a number one leadership trait. And yeah. So, definitely my dad was a big inspiration, you know, and then coming over here to Freedom Church, you know, leadership was like a whole new topic, mm-hmm. you know, for me. And, this is where, you know, I discovered my passion for leadership and seeing like all these young leaders. It's like, I don't have to be 56 years old to be a good leader. Like, I can be a good leader now. Right. You know what I mean? So, like, you've been a big, very big inspiration. So, thank you for just being a phenomenal leader. You know, my sister, Sarah Grace, right. Also a phenomenal leader. Pastor Joe and Tessa, love those guys. Right. They're absolutely amazing. So, really, and then started picking some things up from John Maxwell, actually.
Yeah.
You know, he's also been a very big inspiration for me as well. So definitely recommend hitting up, you know, all the podcasts you can get, all the, you know, books you can get your hands on.
Yeah.
But definitely take time and meditate for sure, because, you know, you can, you know, it's easier to live out once you make it a part of your natural mindset. But anyway, sorry, I'm going on a ramble here.
That's good, man. No, seriously, I love that. And that's one thing I just want to encourage you guys to, like, look at people who are leading and or doing it well and get connected with them and be a part, learn from them, glean from them, take them out for coffee and pay for their coffee and ask them tons of questions. I'm telling you, you will get so much out of it. Okay, so I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble here now, Michael. All right, so I'm going to just throw it out here. Okay,
go for it.
All right, you don't have to answer this question. All right, but I know it's in your heart to eventually create a leadership curriculum for youth.
Yes.
Right? So I'm okay. I'm not crossing.
Nope. All right. Go for it.
Awesome.
By all means.
I'm going for it. So with that, man, what are probably like the top three big lessons that you would really share in that curriculum for youth?
So really, it would start with self-leadership. Because self-leadership always precedes team leadership. You can't lead yourself, you can't lead others.
Right.
So, you know, with the youth, I would like for them to start leading themselves, because if they can learn to lead themselves very well at a youth age, by the time they're, you know, 18, 19, 20, they're going to be phenomenal leaders in ministry, in business, or, you know, whatever God's called them to be. Right. So the top three would be character traits. So number one would be integrity. Number two would be humility. And number three, just, you know, what it looks like to be selfless.
Yeah.
And then is it okay if I add a fourth?
Oh, go ahead.
Serving.
Yeah.
Absolutely serving. Because that also, and that kind of ties in with being selfless a little bit, but also it gives you, you can develop a heart. You know, at first a lot of people are like, man, I don't want to serve. Like, if I'm not getting paid for it, what's the point? It's like, no. If you can develop a heart to serve people.
Right.
That's what leadership is, serving people.
Right.
No matter how high you go, you're always going to be serving people.
Right.
No matter how high of a position you're in, you're always going to be serving people. Pastor Joe and Tessa, for example,
They're
constantly asking the Lord about, you know, what it looks, you know, how can we serve, what do we need to deliver to these people?
Right.
You know, so those are the top four that I would be teaching youth, you know, to lead, you know, start with leading themselves in those areas, and then once they develop from there, you know, it could go a million different directions, you know, definitely asking the Lord about that still. But yeah, I would eventually like to be able to create that type of curriculum for youth to be able to learn to lead themselves.
That's awesome, Michael.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man. I know you're going to do it, and I know it's going to be done. Just like I said, you're already showing so much fruit in your leadership. You're taking everything that you've learned and you're applying it. You're taking some of the revelations the Lord has personally shown you and you're applying it, and that's huge, man. And I just want to encourage you to keep going after it and to remember us all when you are all big and famous with your curriculum.
Absolutely.
<okay?
laughs> Never forget where you came from.
Amen. Well, I always do this at the end of the podcast. I give about a 3-minute challenge. You know, I charge people with just, hey, what can you do from what you just heard right now, and how can you quickly apply it? Again, we don't want to just, you know, produce lifeless faith. You know,
yeah,
you know, the word says that faith without action is dead,
it's
right?
Dead. Yeah.
So with that, what is a quick 3-minute challenge after someone's done listening to this podcast? What can they take and do immediately?
Definitely going back to, if you're currently leading a team, go, you know, begin to ask the Lord, Lord, who has the potential that I need to be drawing out of them? You know, and the thing is, like, you can't pull anything out of anyone, you know, it really comes from themselves. But if you can make them believe that they can become something great and they have that potential to become something great, then they will become that. You know, value the people as well. You know, so ask the Lord for potential. You know, who has the potential? How can I draw it out of them? I would say number two is value. You know, I've once heard a great leader talk about this. You know, how you look at someone is the number they become. So, you know, for example, you look at someone with a 10. You put a number on you put that 10 on someone's head, you're going to look at them like a 10, talk to them like a 10, and then they're going to feel like a 10, walk like a 10, talk like a 10, and they're going to become that 10.
Right.
Why? Because you had influence in their life, and right. you made them feel like that 10.
Yeah.
And so because of that, you know, and that kind of goes back to, you know, the potential thing. It's like, if you can make them feel and believe in themselves that they have that potential, they're going to come, that's going to be pulled out of them. So definitely ask the Lord for potential and value the people over the work, and I guarantee you something will shift within your team.
Come on, man. That is good. That is good. Good, good, good. Again, guys, don't just listen to this podcast and just say, that was really good. Apply it. Do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. You're wasting 20 minutes of your time if you just listen to this and just say, man, that was awesome, and do nothing with it. Please apply this. So that 3-minute challenge, just take it with you guys. Talk to the Lord again. Ask the Lord who is, you know, showing that potential. And then for the value piece, like, man, if you have not done anything for your team right now, man, go look at the budget. Look what you can do to celebrate them. Look at writing them personal notes. It doesn't even have to be with money. I mean, I had leaders who like wrote like notes, like thank you cards, and just wrote like a paragraph of why they're so thankful for me. And that has really blessed my life. And so you can do many creative ways to value your team. And so anyways, thank you guys for listening. Michael, thank you for being on, brother.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. All right, everyone, peace.